Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Donald Perkins will continue his verse-by-verse study through the book of Revelation. As we begin today, I want to personally invite you to join us for a life-changing pilgrimage to Israel with Southwest Radio Ministries host Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis. Explore ancient Jerusalem, worship at the Mount of Olives, and reflect by the Sea of Galilee. A transformative journey of faith awaits November 9th through the 20th. Get all the details and reserve your spot today. Visit swrc.com and click on the Israel Tour banner on the top of the homepage, or just call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Our first Zoom meeting going over the trip and answering questions is scheduled for tomorrow, so don't wait. Spaces are limited, so make sure you reserve your spot today. SWRC.com, click on the Israel Tour banner, or call 1-800-652-1144. Come and join Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis in Israel.
We're continuing our series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, looking at this wonderful teaching of the Great Tribulation. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to continue. Last time I was with you, we actually closed up looking at the seven seals being released. And then the seventh seal actually went into Revelation chapter 8. We looked at 30 minutes of silence. Well, now we're going to come back to chapter 7. We're going to conclude it by looking at the Great Tribulation Saints. To start off, I want to quote here from the book Revelation, Dr. John F. Walver. Listen to what he says in reference to this great multitude. In recognition of the seven seals' importance, John says its opening is followed by a half hour of silence in heaven. Though 30 minutes is not originally considered a long time, in this case, it indicates that something tremendous is about to take place. It may be compared to the silence before the foreman of the judge reports the verdict. For a moment, there is perfect silence, and everyone awaits that which will follow. Again, we closed up last week, last time with you, looking at chapter 8, verse 1, revealing the seventh seal. After all the judgments and different things that transpired in the first six seals, then everything comes to a quiet hum. It's letting us know that something else is going to take place. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to go back to chapter 7. We're going to pick up with the close of chapter 7, looking at the Great Tribulation Saints, and then we're going to move on into chapter 8 to see the full text in regards to the next set of judgments that's going to enter the tribulation, which are the trumpet judgments. But here, we're going to pick up here chapter 8, and then we're going to see this amazing tribulation saints. But I want to quote Dr. Walver one more time here. In Revelation chapter 7, it serves as a review of the situation described in the chapters and emphasizes two different facts. First, God is going to judge Israel in the period of the great trial. Yet 12,000 of each of the tribes will be protected and sealed from the judgments that will fall upon the world in general. Second, a great multitude of Gentiles from every nation will also be saved. But many of these will be martyred, and a multitude of the martyred dead are found in heaven, rejoicing in the presence of the Lamb. It is an indication that even in the tragic closing hours prior to the second coming of Christ, countless souls will find Christ as Savior and be saved by His grace. Now, I get the question all the time, Brother Perkins, will anybody be saved in the Great Tribulation? And the answer is yes. You're going to have a multitude. I'm about to read the text, a multitude which no man can number. And these are people besides the 144,000 Jewish brethren that will be saved during the Tribulation. So we're going to pick up here in Revelation chapter 7. We're going to look here at verse number 9 and 10. We're going to start there. John wrote this, After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Here, John is identifying another group beyond the 144,000 that are actually saved during the time of tribulation. These will be Gentiles that will be saved during that time. I personally believe that once the church is raptured and the great tribulation begins, the Antichrist is revealed, I believe that there will be a multitude of believers. I believe that there will be a revival throughout the tribulation period of people coming to Christ. The reason why I believe that, because some people may have heard the gospel, and they may not have responded then, but after they witnessed the events that would transpire, it would be one of those clarion calls to them, and many will respond. Case in point, the text here. John said, a great multitude which no man could number, an innumerable host of people, believers, who are saved during the time of the tribulation. He said, of all nations. So everybody from all nations, a lot of people will be saved from all walks of life and peoples and tongues, different dialects, but people will come to Christ during this time. And again, John actually sees these multitudes. Now, I'm going to move on to verse number 11 in chapter 7. John wrote, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worship God. As this great multitude is in heaven, John is looking in the heavens and he see a bunch of events or actions that will literally transpire. The elders and the four beasts, they begin to worship God. Now, what I do like about these next few verses here, and again, I think I mentioned before, the book of Revelation has taught me how to worship God. I recite the prayers that the angels say to God or the worship that the angels give to God. And also, I recite the worship that these great tribulation saints will also give to the Lord. And I've learned how to worship God as a result of their testimony. Now, I mean, as a result of their worship. We're going to pick up in verse number 12 and verse 13. This is what they are saying in heaven. They said, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and worship and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Now, this great multitude is in heaven giving God glory. They said, Blessed be the God, and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. They honor God. But in the midst of the praise and the worship of God, one of the elders presented John with an amazing question. And that question is, who are you looking at, John? Who are these people? Who is this great multitude of people that are pictured in heaven worshiping God? And again, we're going to see the answer in a little bit. But we're going to pick up here in verse 14. And John, this is what John replied. He says, And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I love this. This is so powerful here because now we see that this great multitude, which no man could number, they are now identified. Many scholars call them the tribulation saints. These are people who have gotten saved after the rapture of the church. All believers who are born again today and that are raptured, they are not classified as the great tribulation saints. But this is a multitude of people who get saved at the onset of the great tribulation. Now, we're going to see as we go a little further that many of them were literally, or many of them have actually died for their testimony. They actually became martyrs even in the first half of the great tribulation. Here he says here, a great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, this is the only way you get saved, by receiving Christ, receiving Jesus Christ. The same way we are saved today in the church age, this grace dispensation, is the same way people will be saved during the time of tribulation. It is also the same way that people will be saved during the time of the millennial reign. They will have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Now, again, I love this so much because, again, here we see this multitude now pictured in heaven, and they are worshiping God. Now, let's move a step further. As we look at verse 15 and 16, John wrote, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat." These tribulation saints, they're pictured with Christ at this time. They're worshiping him in the heavens. And again, they have these white robes on. They have palms in their hands as they praise God. We know that these people were martyred during the time of the tribulation. They died for their faith and for their testimony. Now, we're going to pick up here at verse number 17. John wrote, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." God's going to literally wipe away the tears from their eyes. They will no longer sorrow. Now, I just want to give you a little understanding about this. These people were saved during the tribulation. And what's going to happen, there will be others who will literally die as they did during the time of tribulation. They will be in heaven in what's called the intermediate body because their flesh is still in the earth. But the scripture literally prophesies that God will literally resurrect them and they'll be glorified right before the thousand-year millennial reign begin. They will actually reign with us who are glorified and are coming back with Christ in the second coming. So I just want to throw this verse in there. We're going to look at it as we go further in our study of Revelation. But in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, this here gives reference to this great multitude of saints that we're talking about here. But look what John wrote in chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 4. John wrote, "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw," listen at this, "the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Here, this is reference to the great tribulation saints that we're talking about here in the closing parts of Revelation chapter 7. This will be a great multitude of people who will literally die for their testimony during the time of the great tribulation. John also said in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 20, he says, "But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death or the lake of fire have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So these people that are born again during the time of the great tribulation, they are classified as tribulation saints. They will be resurrected right before the millennium begin. They'll receive a glorified body. They will be allowed to go into the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ, and they will also reign with us who have been raptured and glorified and who are coming back with Christ. We will go into the millennial kingdom to literally rule and reign with Christ. Now, we're gonna move on into our study, and what I want to do now, I want to move into chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. And what we're gonna do, since we dealt with chapter 8, verse 1, which was the close of the seventh seal, we're going to move now to the next set of judgments that will come into the great tribulation. We're going to see now the next event, next set of judgments, which are the trumpet judgments. We also see and understand that as the judgments progress in the tribulation, they will intensify. They will get worse and worse. I mentioned at the onset of this particular studies of Revelation here, that there will be 21 judgments that will enter the tribulation. Seven seal judgments, which we just saw in chapter 6. Now we're about to see the seven trumpet judgments. And then after that, the seven vial or bowl judgments. That's going to be amazing. So let's move into Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to pick up at verse number 2. John wrote this, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." You know, a trumpet is an amazing instrument. you know, the Jewish trumpet blown during the time, you know, of Israel, it was blown to arouse the soul. It was blown to wake up the inner man, the sound of the trumpet. But here, we're going to see that these are different trumpets here. These are trumpets of judgment. God is about to introduce seven more judgments that are about to enter the Great Tribulation. Now, I want to quote here from my colleague, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, from his book, 101 Answers to the Book of Revelation. Listen to what he's going to say about the trumpet judgments and the result actions of these divine judgments. Listen to what he says. Yet a careful look seemed to indicate the trumpet and the bowl judgments are direct judgments from the hand of God and not the result of human activity. There are two main points that support this idea. First, the trumpet and bowl judgments are eerie similar to the plagues that God unleashed upon the Egyptians in the Exodus. Those plagues were sent directly from God apart from human agency that are mentioned in the trumpet judgment. He goes on to say, to make the judgment in Revelation the result of nuclear war or other human activity, it is to overlook their striking similarities to the plagues inflicted upon the Egyptians. Second, in Revelation, the people on earth who are experiencing the effects of these judgments understand they are coming from God. And he quotes Revelation 11, verse 13, and Revelation 16, verses 9, 11, and 21. They don't blame other people, nuclear weapons, or war for their misery. Rather, they put the blame squarely upon God. We're going to see they're going to blaspheme God. They're going to know that these judgments are a direct result of God judging mankind. But they're going to blaspheme God. And again, what's amazing to me is that they're going to blaspheme God who's pouring out these judgments. What it tells me that those that do that at that time, they are evidently reprobate. And I really believe we're going to see that also as we go forward. Now, I want to quote another scholar here, Jack Kelly, from his book, Understanding Revelation. Listen to what he says. He says, the half hour of silence fills heaven with a scene of forbearing, as if all the angels were holding their breath, waiting for the Lord to act. The post-rapture believers on earth knows what's coming too, and their urgent prayers come up before the throne in a giant cloud of incense. But the time for mercy ended with the rapture of the church. This is a time for justice, and as the angel hurls fire from the altar, God announces the coming judgment in his traditional way, with thunder, lightnings, and earthquakes. Now, I read this particular quote because we're about to go to chapter 8, verse number 3, and there is an amazing event that will transpire in the heavens. We talked about the tribulation saints. Now, they are under persecution during the tribulation. They're in a different time, a different dispensation, and they're under persecution during that time, and many of them will literally be crying out for God's help and mercy. They will offer prayers before God, even in the tribulation. And the Bible tells us that their prayers would go up like an incense into heaven, which is so amazing. So let's go to verse number 3 of Revelation chapter 8, and we're going to see something that is so amazing, what this angel is about to do. So in verse 3 of chapter 8, John wrote, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne of God. Now, this is amazing here. In heaven, as the tribulation saints are on earth praying to God, their prayers go up into heaven, and there's an angel there that goes to the golden altar of incense. Now, to understand this, you must go back to the Old Testament tabernacle. The altar of incense was one of the instruments that was used during the time of the tabernacle. The Bible tells us that Moses and Aaron, Aaron as the great high priest and the under priest, they would offer up incense, and it would be considered as an intercession for the people of Israel. When Israel sinned, they would burn incense on the altar, and what happened? The smoke of the incense would go into the nostrils of God as a sweet smelling savor.
We'll continue our series going through the book of Revelation with Donald Perkins coming up on future programs. Donald Perkins' series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, is now available. This 24-DVD set contains all 71 lessons going verse by verse through the book of Revelation. Order Understanding the Book of Revelation by Donald Perkins when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Understanding Revelation on our website, swrc.com. This study is an excellent resource for churches, Sunday school classes, small group studies, and homeschool Bible classes. 71 lessons on 24 DVDs. Understanding the Book of Revelation. 1-800-652-1144. November 9th through the 20th, Dr. Larry Spargimino and Josh Davis are leading a tour to Israel, and you can be a part of this once-in-a-lifetime journey to the Holy Land. With the details, here are Pastor Larry and Josh Davis.
Southwest Radio Ministries is taking a tour to Israel, and we would love for you to join us, dear friends. It's coming up November 9th through the 20th, 2025. And registration is open. We've had a great response thus far. There's still some spots available. We're trying to keep this a smaller trip so that we can get to know each other much better. Plus, we can get to so many sites and get in, and you can spend maximum time just taking in those sites, growing in the Lord, growing together in His Word. Pastor Larry, I'm glad to be joined with you and looking forward to going back to Israel with you again.
I'm very excited about it. Israel is a very, very special place, and I think we can learn a lot about Israel from the prophet Hosea. I guess most of our listeners know the story. God told Hosea to marry an immoral woman, a woman who will betray their marital relationship. Her name was Gomer. They had a son. His name was Jezreel. That was very significant. They had a daughter, Lo-Ruhamah, which means not love. They had a son who was named Lo-Ami, not my people. By all of this, God was communicating something. And of course, if you just stop reading the book at this point, the replacement theologians kick in and they're really happy. It looks like Israel has now lost God's favor. God will transfer His promises to the church. But as you read on, in chapter 1, you receive a pleasant surprise. In chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord says, "But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God." When folks take a tour of the land of Israel, they'll be witnessing an unfolding love story. This is not a soap opera, a type of love story. It's a love story where the amazing faithfulness of God and love of God, the glory of God, is being declared. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. Now, we know that, of course, Gomer was a perfect picture of the northern kingdom. The names given to her children were very expressive of God's disappointment with His people. But just as Hosea's love for Gomer never left his heart, neither did God's love for Israel fade away to the point of total abandonment. You know, when you go to Israel, there's something beautiful about Israel, something wonderful about Israel. It has the touch of God, the faithfulness of God. And despite all of the acts of disobedience that we read of in the Word of God, there's plenty of them about Israel, yet God, like Hosea, His heart is still leaning in the direction of fulfilling all of His promises, and His faithfulness will demonstrate the faithfulness of God. And hey, that means if God is faithful to Israel, He will be faithful for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And if we can't believe that God's promises are true and faithful for Israel, then what right do I and millions of other Christians have to believe that God will save us and do all the things that He's told us? So I think this is an important issue, and I look forward to being with our tour members, just celebrating God's faithfulness to this wonderful place. Its name is Israel. So friends, I hope I see you in November. We'll have a great time together.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Larry. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because God still has a plan for Israel. And I know that you have written extensively and taught extensively about that here on Watchmen on the Wall, as something that our ministry wants to sound forth, that God is keeping his promises to Israel. And you made a wonderful point that if God has forgotten Israel, if he's changed his mind about Israel, what's going to keep him from changing his mind about us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? He could just, on a whim, decide that he's done with us, done with the church. But no, we know that God is faithful. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, as the scripture tells us. Friends, we're talking about our upcoming Israel tour. Pastor Larry and myself, we are so excited to get to go back to Israel, and we want you to join us. It's November 9th through the 20th, 2025. More information about the tour can be found at our website, swrc.com. There on our home screen, as soon as you see the website, there is a banner that scrolls through a couple of ads. One of those tells you about the Israel trip. Just click on that. It'll take you to a dedicated landing page where you're going to find the costs and all that's included in that cost. Then it'll give a detailed outline of where we're going to be every single day as we arrive in Tel Aviv and then go to Jerusalem, spend a few days in and around Jerusalem, the old city, many of the wonderful sites, including the Temple Mount and the Garden Tomb and many different places that we'll get to go in and around Jerusalem. Then we'll make our way south towards Qumran, Masada, En Gedi, the Dead Sea, and then make our way up north into the Galilee and get to see many beautiful places, many wonderful sites as we grow in God's Word. You know, Pastor Larry, when we go to Israel, we get to look back at the past and understand what God's Word says as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus and other biblical heroes of the faith. And then we look to the present, to what Israel is right now, and how God is working in and through Israel to fulfill his prophecies. And then, of course, we look to the future and understand when we're standing on the Mount of Olives that that's the place that the Lord Jesus is going to come back and stand upon that Mount of Olives. Make sure you sign up soon, dear friends. We do have some information meetings that'll be starting up very soon, and there's still some spots available, so we would love for you to join us on this Israel tour, November 9th through the 20th, 2025.
To enhance and grow your understanding of Revelation, we have several resources for you today. First, the book, No Uncertain Future, a study guide commentary of Revelation by Dr. Larry Spargimino. The DVD, Revealing Revelation by J.R. Church, and Noah Hutchings' classic book, Revelation for Today. All three of these resources are available when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. No Uncertain Future, Revealing Revelation, and Revelation for Today. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Josh Davis will begin a brand new series helping us to identify and defeat rapture anxiety. Be sure to tune in by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.